Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise if you feel him here. Come on, V.O. Mesa, is that the best you have? Give him the best praise you have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay, this time, it's so good to be here with you. I've been looking forward to coming for quite some time now. I was supposed to be here Sunday, actually. Because I was able to be here for, was it the one or the first one? And wow, look at what God's been doing. This is a midweek service. Come on, give Jesus a big hand. You obviously want to know him. If you really love him and want to know him more. Now, let's try it this way this time. This time when you clap, smile. Some people clap so intense. Like. If you love him and want to know him, and you're here on a Wednesday night. Sometimes we got to remind ourselves. Just put on that smile. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But what a blessing to see all of you tonight. It's a blessing to be here in Mesa. Mesa, come on now. Praise the Lord. I love your pastors so much. I can't even tell you. We've come a long way, huh? We've come a long way. I don't know if you most of you know, but do you ever show pictures? No. Oh, come on, bro. If I knew that, I would have brought some pictures and put them up there. You know how much style he has, right? You know, you guys like your pastor's style. He got style. Both of them do. Did you know that he used to have his hair was braided? He used to have a lot of hair, number one. And it used to be braided all the way out. When he used to do a rap group, he did anything he needed to do to reach people for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. He used whatever he had. At the time, he had a lot of hair. Hey, man, you still look good, though, bro. And his wife is one of my favorite women rappers, now favorite women pastors' wives. Come on, give them a big hand. I know you love them. It's good to see you two, Rich. All of you guys that are here, all the team. Love you guys, you know? You guys are doing it. Last time I was here, we were talking about you doing it. We were just discussing it at the table. But it's happening. God is with you. It's evident. So give the Lord a hand for your leadership, amen? One more time. You can feel a spirit of revival here. I said you can feel a spirit of revival here. Not, you don't have to yell for everything, but I do like the talk back, you know what I'm saying? So if I say it twice, then just go ahead and shout at me and just say, all right. Amen. Let's get into this because I know it's a midweek, but open your Bibles with me if you will. I bring you greetings on behalf of my wife, too. She is too much, man. She wanted to come here all of a sudden today. Anyway, she didn't want to go to the pastor's conference, but she wanted to come here. That's it, you got something going on, bro. Because I actually was here for this conference that was just in, I call it Phoenix First Assembly, but what's it called again? Dreams. Center. Dream Church Center. Amen. It was a blessing. They were good. It was great. But my wife didn't have much interest in going to that. But today, she's like, Tim, if you can get me a flight, I'll go. I want to go. I want to see. I want to be there. And anyway, it didn't work out, but next time she'll be here with me. Amen. And my daughter Deborah too. Amen. Amen. Philippians 4, verse 4. We're going to read a few scriptures and then you can sit down after that, okay? If you're not there, just trust me. This is what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, and he yells it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Somebody say the Lord is near. Now this addresses the anxiety problem of today. How many people have heard, oh, I have anxiety attacks, anxiety, anxiety? And that's crept into even the church household. I'll tell you this much. It says in the Bible right here, do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Now, if you hear what's being said here, he's giving you the tools and the key to get through whatever you're going through. And if you want to get through it faster, if you want to get through it, in other words, you're going to go through some things. But he's saying, even if you're going through some things, you don't have no permission to be depressed, or you have no permission to let anxiety take you over. He says, rejoice not just when you feel good or not just when things go good. He says, always. And then he even yells it at you. Look at your Bible. It has an exclamation point. Rejoice. And now, look it. You don't have to play anymore. Thank you. He's saying it from prison. Paul is in shackles, writing to the Philippians, telling them to rejoice in the Lord always. And like we usually need to hear it twice, he yells it. He knows. He just knows what they're thinking. They're not smiling yet. They just read it. They still don't get it. And he says, rejoice. He yells it. And he talks about an attitude to have. God is definitely concerned about how we carry ourselves through whatever we go through. So if you want to get through it, tell the person next to you, say, we're getting through it. And then we'll go through something else. Tell the person next to you, say, I'm ready for my next trial. Oh, don't get me wrong. I know you're not asking for it, are you? But still, if you're asking to grow, and this church has been asking God for big things, then this sermon is, if it doesn't help you today, it's going to help you tomorrow. I guarantee it. Remember it. Amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, again, talking about attitude, present your request to God. And then it says the promise of what God will do. And the peace of God. Somebody say the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, it's bigger than our thinking. It doesn't make sense type of peace. The situation stays, but the peace overtakes the situation. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? Tell the person next to you, say, I got the peace of God tonight. I'm keeping it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your spirit that's here. And I just ask you to let tonight be a night we never forget. I pray for those that came out on this Wednesday night, that you would meet them where they're at. Touch them tonight. Let lives be truly transformed. And I pray, God, you would use me as your vessel. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look at one more person. Give them a high five. Tell them it's our time. So let's do this. You may be seated. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only. Let me explain it. The thief comes only to steal. Say it with me. Then what? Steal. And then what? Destroy. You all know that scripture, right? Have you felt that at all? The truth is, this is the thing about it. It describes the enemy as a thief. So most likely, you may not even know he hit you yet. In this text here, in other words, this type of thing that happens, what the thief, what he comes to do, he comes as a thief to do it. You understand what I'm saying? A thief could come in and out of your house. You don't even know he was there or what he took. You find out way later when you actually need whatever it was. Let me give you an example. Somebody robbed my sister Debbie a while back. Somehow got into her house and got into the safe. She didn't even know that she'd been hit for probably about 6 months. When she went to look for one item, Then she realized it wasn't there anymore. And immediately she realized, oh no. Then they had to track what could have happened and when it happened. And it was 6 months, 9 months earlier. She lost something precious, but she didn't even know it. She was hit by a thief, and the thief took something from her, which eventually she got the realization of, it's gone. Wow. Now stay with me. To steal, now a thief steals, what is he after stealing on you? What is he trying to steal from you? Do you even know what he's trying to steal from you? I'll tell you right now. Paul says it real clearly. He's yelling at the Philippians to have the right attitude. Because they may be going through some things ahead. You're going to go through things too. Some of you are going to go through storms. Now, let me rephrase. All of you are going to go through storms. Most of you are in a storm right now. If you're not, praise God. Say amen. Get ready because you're going into one. Wow, why would you say that upon me? Because God has a plan for you. I could guarantee you he's going to use storms to take you to where you say you want to go. There's no way you don't get there without going through some things. This church will not get to where it wants to go. What you preach about, pray for, what you've been dreaming about, you won't get there without knowing how to go through bigger storms. So put on your raincoat. Get used to the cold weather. Bring your beanie. I'm saying, for the most part, it might be cold weather, could be hot, it doesn't matter. The storm, it doesn't have to affect you the way it has in the past. You're going to, let's just get this out. You're going to go through storms whether you're saved or not. I guarantee you, if you didn't want the Lord, say, some people think, man, I got saved. Now everything's going, oh, man, it's all sad now. All the people left me. I don't have friends. That happens a lot of times right after you get saved. You go through something and you feel like, man, they cared about me more in the world. They didn't even lie to you. And then you get the selective amnesia. You know what I'm talking about? Where you remember only the good stuff, but you forgot how many times that same person burned you or how many times they lied about you and all these things. But you realize it as you go. But the thing is, if you're in God, at least you have the presence of the Lord with you. You don't have to go through it alone. At least you know where you're headed is where he's sending you. And you don't just have your own word, you have his word. Somebody say, I'm on my way. Where are you on your way to? Where are you going? I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you. I'm going. When that trumpet sounds, peace. I'm out. I'm good to go. I don't mind. If it takes me tonight, I'm ready to go. We're on our way to heaven. On the way, he wants it. Lord, I want to be who you called me to be on the way. But when I'm through, I'm through. I don't have to worry about what this life's going to bring. You don't either. If you're saved, you don't have to worry about death. You don't have to worry about a lot of stuff that we find ourselves worrying about. We don't have to worry so much. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to worry about what you're going to eat, drink, wear, nothing. God has you covered. He has you covered. Tell the person next to you, say, God's got your back. All you got to do is love him. Tell that person. You just got to love God. So he comes to steal. The first thing he comes to steal is your joy. Somebody say joy. Tell the person next to you, say joy. And then smile at him real big. If they can't smile back, if they just look away, most likely they've been ripped off. I can't stand when I see depressed Christians. I'm sorry. I know, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting anybody down that feels that way. But you don't have to stay that way tonight. As a matter of fact, tonight, that's the main healing I feel God's going to do. He's going to pull some of you that have been stuck in depression, or you've been coming out for just a little breath and you go back in every year. Some people, they just live in depression. They don't know how to get out of it. And they come to church just to get a breath out. And then the next day, they go back down in it again. And they come on Wednesday, they need to get a breath again. And they go back down. You're stuck. The thief has hit you. You could end up living that way for years. And your life, although you're here, the enemy robbed you and he robbed us. Because you're not the only one robbed when you get robbed. Your whole family gets robbed. Everyone that you're supposed to be ministering to also doesn't get the message. They only know that you're up and down all the time. See, now I don't believe, at the beginning, sure, you're going to have a lot of things you go through that are stuff that will take you up and down a little bit. But if you're in a church like this, the road should be a little more steady than the others. In other words, you know you're going to go through stuff, but you get to go through it with a whole room of people here. And the great thing about it is, when you get into a church like this, it's not just a Sunday church. If you're a Sunday person, you wouldn't be here right now. So you could know this, that you are in a church that won't just love you on Sunday morning. You could come any day of the week. If you're going through it, you don't have to go through it alone. So we have to know how important it is to be together, to be faithful, to be at church, to be consistent, because the enemy's trying to keep you under. When I was a kid, my brother was cruel sometimes. We used to swim, and sometimes he would get me and boom, put me under the water. And I was 5 years younger than him, so that's kind of a bully thing, isn't it? And honestly, I thought I was dying at times. When I got to a certain point where, you know, you really think you're dying, you go crazy. And then he would let me up again, and just enough to get, and then boom, you do it again. And he would be laughing. Ah, ha, ha, ha. What's the matter? And then I would get out. Oh, you stupid. All this stuff. The enemy's doing that to many of you. He's laughing. He's got, boom, he could put you down just with one little thought. One bad memory. And boom. I hope you're sick and tired of that. It's time to put him under the water. Come on, somebody. It's time to turn the tide. Now, what I didn't realize, if I learned to laugh at it, when my brother saw me come up, in other words, if he thought it was, I thought it was fun, he probably would have stopped immediately. Because what he was going after was my feeling of just stop it. If I didn't care if he stopped, he probably wouldn't do it for long. Because his joy of what he was getting joy from, it would have been over quick if I was saying, do it again, come on. When a bully bullies, the enemy's a bully. Especially when he knows you have a weakness or a fear. He'll bully you, and he'll take advantage of whatever it is your weakness is. He'll try to keep you down, keep you under, and as long as you keep on showing fear instead of faith, you're going to keep on being, boom! Remember, God cares about how you go through what you go through. It's not just that you survive. If you barely survive through it, then you might have to go through it again. That's why sometimes we feel like, oh, here we go, same circle of life. That's not what God intended for you. But he's still trying to teach lessons. He sees more for you. He's not going to allow you to have what you can't handle, so he's preparing you through the hardship. He's preparing you now through the storms to know you could trust him.
to know who he is and to know how to carry ourselves, even though life sometimes can get pretty rocky. If you've been stolen from, if you've been robbed, it's time to get what you got stolen, get it back. It's up to you tonight. You could decide now, I'm not going to be that guy no more. This is the last day that enemy is going to be holding me underwater. No more! No more! And I'm going to give you some things to help you. Let's turn the tide on him. Let's flip the script. Let's take God's super and put it into our natural. So we could now live in a supernatural way of thinking. Now, supernatural, it's real. In other words, miracles do happen. You truly can be healed tonight of whatever sickness or disease you have, especially if it's something in your head. I pray that not one of you leaves without the spirit of joy on you tonight. I'm talking about so happy that you just have all this energy to go hang out after all that. You know what I'm saying? That you go and have taco, whatever, Wednesdays. That everybody says, I don't know why. I feel like having a taco. I got to work tomorrow. I got to go sleep, but I don't feel like sleeping because I got joy. Joy like a river. You know why that happens? The joy of the Lord will give you energy to do things. I'm telling you, you know, the reason why some of you are always tired, because you don't have the joy of the Lord. I mean, you have the joy, but you don't put it on. It's like this sweater. I don't usually wear a sweater. It's usually in my drawer. But this is my joy sweater. I had to put it on. If I didn't put it on, I wouldn't have it here. Your joy is the same way. Your smile is the same way. Your excitement for life is the same way. Even if you don't feel it inside, you got to look in your mirror and say, wait a minute, I just put on all my clothes. Now I got to put on my smile. And make sure it looks right. Some of you have been having these weird smiles lately, you know? I'm sure. I don't know. I know people. Sometimes people. You ever give courtesy laughs? You got me? Like somebody tries to be funny and you're like. Or have you ever been in a place where you had to take a lot of pictures? A lot of pictures. A wedding, something like that. And then you're smiling so much that your face hurts after a while. Your wedding day, most likely. You feel all the muscles get, you know, it's like, does it even look right? At the conferences, my dad has to ask us sometimes, he goes, does the smile still look normal? He takes so many pictures at the conference that he's like, he wants to make sure it looks real at least. Sometimes you're putting on the smile by faith. That's a good thing. That says you're activating what you didn't even know. You're not feeling it, but your feeling is not controlling you. What I feel is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to smile, and not one person is going to see me doubting that God is on my side. If Christ be for us, come on, say it. I like how you talk back, church. If Christ be for me, yell it at the person next to you. If Christ be for me, now I'm going to give you three types of storms. I'm going to cut some of this stuff out here because I want to see God move at the altar. But hear me. Three types of storms, real quick. There's God-sent storms. You're going to have those. And those are good. Those are most of them, actually. But the truth of it is, the enemy gets the credit for all of them, it seems. Like when you're going through things, how many people give credit to the devil, huh? That lying devil. It was the devil, man. The devil did it. Man, that devil's a liar. And then some of you even pray to the devil a lot.
Well, no, I know it sounds like scary almost, huh? You say, oh, devil, I bind and rebuke you, devil, get back, Satan. And Satan. You're talking to Satan on that prayer session. Satan doesn't even know about your problem. He hasn't got the email. This one was God. God allowed it. Actually, not just allowed, God sent you into it. You find Jesus after he feeds the 5,000. The boat, remember the guys on the boat where they go into a storm? Jesus made the disciples get in the boat, go on ahead of them to the other side. He didn't go with them. His word went with them. Now stay with me for a second. The guys didn't want to get in the boat. You know why they didn't want to get in the boat? Because they knew a storm was coming. It was evident. The clouds were already there. These guys were fishermen. They're expert fishermen. That was their trade before following Jesus. I think they would know if there's a big storm coming. So I'm sure they said, no, but Jesus, no, look, no, Jesus, trust us. And Jesus, the Bible says, he made them. It says, you be quiet right now, get in that boat. But Jesus, get in the boat and go on ahead of me. If you're my disciple, do what I'm telling you. If you're going to make somebody do something, see, that can't be done today, huh? Today, ooh, that's how quick you'll leave a church. Well, I left that church, brother, because they told me I had to be there on Wednesday nights. They told me I needed to be there on Sunday nights to be a leader. I had to sit through two services too on Sunday morning. They said, I have to if I want to be a leader there. Can Jesus make you do anything? Can he do things his way in your life? Because I guarantee you, his ways are not our ways. And what we don't understand, he's checking to see if you're just going to do what he says to do. Please, that's real good. Trust me, that's good. Because the truth of it is, he always has something great for you ahead. Better than you could imagine or think. 2 years ago, we wouldn't have known this. You have a bigger crowd than that was there on that morning, on a Wednesday night. It was about half this. God is moving. If you hadn't gone through the stuff you went through in that living room, those of you that were around still, you would be missing out, wouldn't you? If you jumped ship and you said, no, I'm not going to stay in Victory Outreach, you would have missed out on a revival that you're experiencing that you'll never, ever forget. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but the ones who are here, they do. Let me just share this. The storm real quick. The God sent storms, they still look like storms. And they still seemingly will kill you. Especially if you're really going to a new level. If you took the 90-day challenge, get ready for the storm. Man. In other words, you might as well keep a raincoat on. Because the storms will come. Thank God for it. In everything, give him thanks. Those are the good times. Now, the second storm is self-induced storms. In other words, consequence. You're going to have to go to jail because you did a crime. Yeah. And they caught you. So just because you got saved does not necessarily cancel out the fact that you owe society some time. Same thing with a lot of our actions. If we did the wrong thing, there's going to be consequences. Sometimes God's mercy and grace will take that away too. But a lot of times we're not that grateful for that. So we just got to go through it again. We forget real quick when God rescues us from something and we don't have to pay the price for it. That's a dangerous place to be. And the third storm is truly the devil. Sometimes it is the devil.
But stop giving him so much credit, because most of the time he doesn't even know what you're dealing with. He's really, really not that interested in us unless we step up to the point of really. Ah! Now, his demons are on you, though. Yeah, they do want to mess you up. I'm talking about the actual devil, though. Devil's not omnipresent. He's just one place. He has an organized thing, though. And he does have demons that are going to be coming in line to you. They're going to try to influence your decisions. They're not going to possess you. Don't worry. You have nothing to fear. If you're saved, that is.
That's right.
But if you are in God's will, they'll try to take you out of his will. And those storms, if he does get you to go out of his will, then you'll see some of the storms will be caused by Satan. But Satan does have to get God's permission at the same time. So no matter what it is, everything works together for the good, for those who love God and are called according to his. Somebody say, I'm called. Say, I'm called. And I know it. I'm going after my calling. Then smile. Come on, smile. Smile. I don't care what you're feeling. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad it hurts. Even if you're in pain tonight, smile right now and give God praise and glory. He loves you enough to have you go through it. And he promises it all will work for the good. Smile, clap your hands, rejoice. And again I'll say rejoice. Rejoice and again and again. Keep on going. Don't stop. Don't stop. We're breaking something in the atmosphere right now. There's something being broken. Some of you are starting to get the picture here. Now, the disciples got in the boat. Thank God they're obedient. There's three things God's looking for in order for this storm to go faster. In other words, how many want the storm to end? Come on, wait a minute. How many want to pass the test? How about that? Okay, I'm going to help you, okay? If you really hear what I'm saying, trust me, you're going to go through storms a lot easier. You're still not going to avoid them. But they're going to feel different. First thing he's looking at is your attitude. That's the first thing he's looking for. He's saying, okay, they're going to go through this. How are they going to act about it? They're going to be talked to that way. Let's see what they do. They're going to feel like no one loves them. Let's see how they go through that. Let's see if they start getting mean. Let's see if they start acting grouchy. Let's see if they get moody. Let's see if they stay home. Let's see if they back up and they say, well, it's not, you need to sit down now. And they treated me wrong. Let's see what their attitude looks like when, see, because if you're going where God told you to go, you're going to feel some opposition. You're supposed to. But how you have your attitude in that determines how long you have to stay in it. It's the truth. If we think we have the right to hold bitterness or grudge against anybody, then you're not passing your test, homie. You're going to be in it for a while. You're going to be stuck for a minute. No matter what, you're going to feel like you got breakthroughs at moments, but again, you're going to go back. You can't have those things. The attitude that we have with each other, now, it's a big deal because our relationships are, that's a big part of how we establish them. We have relationships with three. God, okay? We have to keep our relationship with God. When you're going through storms, sometimes we tend to neglect our relationship with God. Like, it's almost like we think it's like dad and mom sometimes. But our God is much greater than dad and mom. When I used to get in trouble when I was a kid, I would stay away from them for a while. That was just my nature. I'm going to stay away from them until they cool down. So I didn't want to go around them for a few days at least. You can't do that with God. You cannot take time off because you think he's mad at you. See, sometimes you make a mistake, you're going through a storm that you created, and you think God doesn't want to talk to you no more. Or I better not. I can't talk to him today. I messed up again. How could I talk to God? But the thing he's looking for is not your perfection. He already had his son die on the cross, and his righteousness, he offered it to you if you put it on. Your own righteousness was never good. Filthy. So you're gonna make mistakes. He knows it. He still died. He still went on the cross, knowing you're gonna get saved, but then you're not gonna always make right choices. But will you keep your relationship with him is what he's really looking for. See, God doesn't look at the outward. God is looking at your heart. So if you stop praying because you messed up, then you're going to stay messed up. If you stop the relationship with God, relationship with yourself, and with other people around you. Please hear what I'm saying. Those things have to stay intact. The only way those things stay intact is if you keep a good attitude. If you don't have a good attitude, no one wants you around. Some of you think you have a license or you're able to stay mad at everybody. No, you're not. It's your job, our job, if we're going to get through the storm, to show a smile and keep a good attitude. Yeah, it did happen, but I'm not holding nothing, Pastor. Yeah, they did do that to me. Yeah, but that's them. That's okay. They're going to grow. They're going to learn. I'm not taking it personal. I really, really love that person anyway. I just know they're probably going through things. It's okay. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I'm not going to hold bit. I'm not going to have, what did you say to me? I'm not sensitive. Some of you think sensitive. Some of you are real sensitive. Some of you guys that are tough, you're real sensitive. No, I'm not. What is he talking about, dude? Forget that, dude. You don't know who I am. See how sensitive you are? If you're sensitive, it doesn't always manifest in tears. Sometimes it manifests in anger. If you're always flying off the handle over the littlest things, you're sensitive, homeboy. Way. If anything could get you to fly off the handle and get mad, forget that, hit a wall. You're sensitive. That's weak. So anyway, your attitude. Secondly, I don't have time to labor anymore, even though I have scriptures for it. Secondly, he's looking for your anticipation. He's really right now. See, some of you are in the storm now. And you already got the attitude right because you've been smiling. You look like you're not thinking about your problem right now. But your problem's still here. Even though you don't feel it at the moment, it'll be waiting for you outside. Or at home. Or at work. Or lack of work. Now, I know I'm looking at the time. I'm making sure that clock's yelling at me right now. I don't know what time we're supposed to end, but I have to be sensitive, okay? Now, hear this. Your anticipation matters to God, especially when you're in the storm. Especially when you're going through times where you don't know how you're going to make it. Like, you're still doing what he said to do, but the numbers don't add up sometimes. And sometimes we rob him. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about even who you are. Sometimes we rob him of what he is calling for us to give him, what belongs to him even. Sometimes we take our tithe and we pay our bills with it, and we don't even have no conviction about it. When you took the 90-day challenge, then you went in reverse. Why? Because you're being tested. He made you get in the boat. You got in the boat. Good job, you're here. But now the storm is keeping the boat going in circles, and you don't know what's happening. Why am I going through such chaos in my finances or in my family or whatever's going on? Why do I feel like nothing's getting better yet? Well, what gets better is something different than what you think. That's where his super in our natural. Just stay with me, okay? Anticipation is what he's looking for. You saw him in this text. I didn't read it, but you know it's there. Jesus comes to them in the late, early morning, actually, walking on the water. Remember that story? This is the one we're talking about. He walks on the water, wondering if they're going to be looking for him. Hear me. The men in the boat, okay? The men in the boat were crying. They had fear. They thought they were going to die. This wasn't a little storm. These men were thinking it's over. Jesus put us in this situation, and he's left us. They had the wrong way of thinking about it. They were letting the storm overtake them. They lost their belief that they could get out of it. And they lost their belief that Jesus could get them out of it. Fear grips you, and it causes you to go in circles sometimes. He's looking to see, okay, first their attitude, but are they looking for me? I think that's why Jesus could have walked straight. One of the translations says he almost walked past them. Because he was, I believe, he was waiting for them to believe he was going to come through. They weren't looking for him to show up. This means this. The expectation, you know, expectation in the Bible literally talks about somebody, like a little kid, when they're waiting for dad to give him something. You know, so you ever have like my daughter, sometimes she'll get on her tippy toes. And she'll put her hands up, yeah, give me it, daddy, give it to me. She stands on her tippy toes to get it. Because she knows that I'm about to give her something that's going to change her situation. And I wait till she gets on her tippy toes before I give it to her. I want her to always anticipate that it's going to come, and I know it.
Come on.
I can stand on my tippy toes, and I know he'll come through. What are you expecting tonight?
Come on.
What anticipation do you have? Are you looking for Jesus to come in your situation tonight? Or are you just here because you're in a storm? Are you just going to have the little get out of the water and then back in? Or are you starting to feel it now? See, I believe this. I believe right now some of you don't look the same anymore. Some of you... All you need to know is this. This is what you need to know. This should change everything. What Jesus says to them, okay? He says to them, hey, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. I'm here. They saw him. They're crying out in fear. They're crying. Men, grown men crying. Picture this. The Bible says it. It says they were crying, dude. They cried. I don't know about you, but I would never cry in front of you. I wouldn't. Have you ever seen me cry? Unless I'm in the presence of God, that's different. Or at a funeral. Funerals, you could cry. But you don't do that over fear with men. These guys were really in the pit of this. They thought it was over. They thought it was their funeral. Jesus comes. He speaks to them. Take courage. Stop. He even says this. You know what it really says? It says, "Be of good cheer." If you don't think he cares about your smile, he told them when they were crying, hey, guys, yeah, it's me. Smile. Laugh. Be of good cheer. Be like a cheerleader. Woo! Ah. Is that not what he means? Yes, it's what he means. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
He speaks it to them. And then something shifts. Then you see Peter shift. Now, if it were you or I, most of us, our next word would be about the storm. Because that's what you've been praying for every day, as if God didn't hear you the first time. See, sometimes we get up and we pray and we ask God, please, Lord, do this, please do that, please do this, please, 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 please. Take away the storm. Well, he's with you, but your storm hasn't stopped. What I love about Peter is that when he heard Jesus was there, he saw that he's there. But he saw that he was there. That made him scared even more. But when he heard it, It shifted something inside of him.
Yes.
Just the words of Jesus made him shift.
Come on.
The storm didn't have to stop.
Yeah.
But it changed his expectation of what he could do now. Your storm doesn't have to stop. Please hear this. You've been praying the wrong prayer. Stop. Stop crying over the same thing. Wipe the tears away now. It's not like God doesn't care, but he has a plan in it. He has a great plan in it, and it's not a natural plan. It's a supernatural plan. And he's going to turn things around for you, but he wants you to walk on the water like he is. In other words, Jesus could have stopped the storm before he took the walk if he wanted to, but the storm was good for them all. It was good for, so they could know how powerful he is, and they could know that no matter what comes their way, he will never leave them, never forsake them. There's a lot of lessons in this thing. There's a lot of lessons in what you're going through. I know your heart is hurting maybe. Oh, I know your pain, and pain is there. But you don't have to let it get you no more. You don't have to let it keep you down. Smile, rejoice in the Lord, and let him know the storm don't have to stop, Jesus. A matter of fact, I don't want the storm to stop no more. I want to walk different in it. I don't want the storm to stop. As a matter of fact, I don't even want what I thought was safe anymore. I want to be a different man in the storm. I want to be a different person. I don't care if it stays here. It don't matter to me. His request was not about the storm. It was a request to get closer to Jesus in it. He cares about what you believe he can do. Anticipation. And the last thing is this. He cares about your action you're going to take now. Now, a lot of you, the supernatural scares you. I know. I live in this realm at times here. And I go to places, and sometimes when we go where we're about to go right now for the next 15 minutes, sometimes people get really spooked. I used to get spooked. I grew up in church. I used to hate it when they started speaking in tongues. I'd be like, what in the world is going on here? It's weird. I know how you think. Some of you are like, man, you don't bring people to church sometimes because of that. I love this church, but when they start speaking in tongues, it gets weird. I don't want them to trip, so I don't bring them. Yeah, you're laughing. Yeah. That's only because you don't understand the supernatural. You don't understand how important speaking in tongues actually is. If you did, you would be doing it a whole lot more, and you wouldn't be ashamed of it at all. If you knew what speaking in tongues would do for you, especially when you're in the storm. Because when you're in the storm, you really don't know the right prayer to pray. And it's very difficult to know what to say to God. You don't want to say the wrong thing. So every once in a while, if you're in a storm, that's the only type of prayer you need to pray. It's shalala. Some of you are in the storm still because you think it's too weird. Ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, baptizes you in the Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. Now that's something we're not ashamed of in Victory Outreach. And I will never go to a church that I can't throw some tongues at if I want to. On the microphone if I have to. I'll do it so much until it's not weird no more. Matter of fact, if we could have the church be more on fire and speaking in tongues, then you'll feel left out if you don't. Hey, man, if you've gone through the storms that I've gone through, sometimes that's all you could do. I don't know what to tell you, Jesus, but all I know is the Spirit's praying. Pray for me.
Yes, come on.
Speak words. Speak things I don't even understand. Just say it right, please. It's a perfect prayer. What are you going to do now? Are you going to stay stuck in the boat? Because you just... Well, you're going to watch other people step out and be who they're called to be while you stay in fear? Wow. Are you going to stay in the same place a year from now? Wow. Are you going to become the leader that God called you to be? Wait, you can clap in 1 second. Understand this. All of you are supposed to be leaders in this room. God is calling you now. If you didn't know it, now you know. I don't care if it's your first time. You are here by design. I don't care if you're 15, 12. God has called you to be a leader in this city and in this church. And know this, it's time for you to get up and do something about it. Your blessing, your excitement of life again is going to be found in your action in His Word. Don't fear it no more. Don't think the same way. Jesus says, I'm with you. And if you want to walk on water with me, Peter, if you're not afraid of all this, if you trust me more than you fear this, oh, that's heavy. If you trust my word more than you fear what could happen to you, you can have everything I say. Ooh, that's heavy. Jesus just told Peter, I think he was so impressed, he didn't even know what to say at the time. Peter said, Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. I think Jesus went, come? Let's see you do it, Peter. Let's see what you're going to do now. Are you going to believe? Are you going to be afraid? Are you going to stay in the boat after I told you don't have to be? Come on. Jesus is calling you right now. Come on out of that depression. Get out of it. Come on. Come on. Get your life back. Get your personality back. Get your anxiety and put it under your feet. Get your worry and fear and doubt and arthritis and cancer or whatever else. Put it under your feet. I'm trusting Jesus on this. Stop taking all those pills for depression. God's going to heal you tonight. You're not hearing me, I don't think. I said, God is going to heal you, and you'll never, ever, ever have to worry about that again. Your life. Oh. The cool thing about it is this. The enemy's going to think he still could get you this way. But now you're really smiling through it. The storm, bring it on, devil. Go ahead, do it again. Let's try that again. Let's do a replay. Because I'm going to change how I carry myself. My attitude's going to stay intact because His word is with me. And my action, oh man, I'm about to do things in the storm that my family's going to be, their mind's going to be blown. People are going to be, their minds are going to be blown because of you. Your situation didn't change, but you did. Amen. Your income level didn't change yet, but you're smiling anyway now. You're not worried. Get ready. You're about to enter the supernatural. And in the supernatural, you get to know Jesus in the supernatural way. I hope you're ready for this. Some people are going to be afraid. It's okay. But don't let it stop you from going forward. Fear shouldn't stop your action. Your action is what God's looking for right now. How are you going to move now that you know all this stuff? I dare you to come out of it. Lift your hands right where you're at. Lift them up. Some of you desperately need an out. Actually, no, let me rephrase. You actually need a change inside of you. If he said, by my stripes you're healed, I don't care what the doctor says. I do not put the doctor's word down, but all he's doing is giving you the attack that's coming upon you. He's telling you what it is. He did you a favor, now you could come and pray against whatever that is, but it's not, that doesn't have the final say. You've got to stop activating what the doctor says and start activating what the word says. Sickness, disease, depression, whatever it is, you're a child of God. You have the power of God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You got power to overcome anything in the world. You got to stay in your mind. I'm going to believe. I'm going to get my attitude right. I'm going to get my I'm going to believe and anticipate for God to come through. I'm going to every day wait and on my tippy toes for that miracle, for that healing. I believe some of you are getting it tonight. Some of you are going to get it tomorrow. Some of you, if you keep that attitude of anticipation, you're going to get it this week even. God will come through like he said he would. And the test will be over. The storm will end. But not until you have the right attitude, the right anticipation, and the right action. He wants to see what you're going to do in the storm. He's here. He's here. He's here.